Have you ever wondered if you could break the cycle of limiting thoughts about who you are and who you could be? Have you ever wished you could embrace challenges, struggles, and setbacks as a source of growth? Welcome to Amped, where we'll supercharge your success with high performance and mindset coach, Dr. Aaron. You'll learn the strategies, skills, tools, and techniques to make a living doing what you love. We'll discuss scientifically backed strategies to improve your mindset and ultimately your bottom line. It's time, your time, to step into greatness. Get ready to get amped. Here's Dr. Aaron.
Welcome, everybody, to Amped, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Aaron, your high-performance business coach and success psychologist. And we talk about the amped life, which is your best life. And amped stands for you are activated, motivated, productive, energized, and disciplined. And I have to tell you, I am so excited to be welcoming our guest today. You know, if you looked at her bio and you looked at my bio, you might get the same person. So we are talking about something really, really important here. We're talking about how do you grow a business without totally imploding? And how do you grow a business and take care of yourself? And how do you grow a business and have massive success and not just lose your relationships and all the things that you kind of grew the business for? So let me introduce our guest and we will get going. So I'm really excited to introduce you all to Dana Corey. She is the CEO and founder of Dana Corey Coaching, and she is a business strategist, international speaker, business coach. And she combines the nuts and bolts strategy with Walk Beside You partnership. I love that. To amplify high performance entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm telling you, we're getting amped here. Her passion is transforming business owners acting as the do-it-all worker bee into CEOs who enjoy the freedom they started their journey for. Dana's clients increase profit margin as much as revenue, and more importantly, keep from imploding from rapid growth. Even better, they do that while taking regular weekends and real vacations. Sounds great to me. Some people think the time off is a side benefit. Dana believes that freedom is the whole point. She has mentored hundreds to success, including entrepreneurs, small business owners, and Fortune 100 executives, giving her that unique context for what, you know, a variety of businesses need. And her mission is to create more compassion and love in the world, especially in the business world. Let's dive in. Let's chew on this, Dana. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Aaron. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Me too. I don't know about you, but in my coaching career, I've never once heard a client say, please help me grow a business so that I have no free time and that I'm working on my business all the time. Right?
Right. Like everybody goes into thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, have a business so I can have the life I want, blah, blah, blah. And then once they get there, they realize it's not quite as simple as it sounds.
And I think, you know, and I'm really at this place in my business where I'm scaling and there's no more Aaron. There's no more room at the inn, should I say. And this is quite frankly where most people, I think, in businesses quit. And they say, you know, if I knew I was going to work this hard, I would, you know, I can work a 9-to-5, get paid more sometimes and work a lot less. And so please tell us some of the ways how you really view how do we grow rapidly, because we all want that. We want the rapid growth. We want the massive success. We want the income. How do we do that, like you say, without imploding? Please help us.
Well, you know, the first thing I always say is that what it takes to get your business to a point at which all of a sudden you see a rapid revenue increase is different than what it takes on the other end of being inundated with sales, which everybody thinks, oh my gosh, you know, I can't, that's what I was going for. But if you're the structure, if the infrastructure that holds up your company, so the first thing always is to get to where you're going. It's usually everything is on your shoulders. So you're used to doing everything. You're used to being in control on the micro level, micromanaging every single detail, and really keeping the plates in the air. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that image is such a dates me, because it always brings me back to some of those people on Johnny Carson, right, who had the sticks and 25 plates going and running around, keeping them all circling on the air so none of the plates would fall down. And I really feel like so many business owners are right there. And then if you get to the, then, you know, and I will say not everybody gets here, but when you get to the point where you're kind of discovered, and I'm air quoting that, where, you know, people are like, oh, Erin is so great. And everybody thinks that at the same time. And all of a sudden you have all this business coming in, but you don't have the capacity. That's the issue. So there's two places that I usually start. One is, what are you doing? So here's a really good tip. This is the first thing I make most of my clients do, is they take a piece of paper and put a line down the middle. So they have two columns. And on one side of it, they make a list of the things that really only they can do in their company. And there's things that each of us, that's the magic we bring, the superpower that we have, that we bring to our company, that really is, we are irreplaceable in that way. So only the things that only we can do. And on the other side of it are the things that we're doing right now that somebody honestly could do. And just doing that is eye-opening. But then we take that list and things that other people could do and break it down into different jobs or different, what would fall under different job descriptions. Because, for instance, somebody who is really great at managing social media might not be as great at tiny detailed scheduling or admin work, right? So you have to separate the jobs to fit real people's personalities. And we look to see, okay, well, you know, what will it take to hire the first person, and what is the first job you actually want to fill? So that's the first thing we do. The second thing that I find really important is that when we're running the whole show, most of us are not as efficient. Our productivity, we think we're getting a ton done, but the truth is that we don't manage our own productivity very well at all. And so we work on time management and planning your work and diminishing the distractions. How do you diminish those distractions? Have you ever heard of that concept, you know, only touch a piece of paper once? Okay, so the first time I heard this was like 30 years ago, where when you open a piece of mail, you want to open it and put that piece of paper where it's supposed to go in one fell swoop. So you only touch every piece of paper once. And now that we're on, right? So now we're on email, and it's the same sort of concept. You want to try to just touch everything just once. But the idea of this goes way beyond email. It goes to how do you do your workflow? What happens when your customer, from the moment your customer touches your company, from the very first moment till the absolute end of whatever your transaction is, what is the flow? How does that work? And if you don't have a system to do it the same every single time, then you're wasting minutes and you can't get any faster, and nothing is batched. So I work a lot on different segments of companies' workflows to make each one as efficient as possible.
Yes. You know, so automation is part of that, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Automation, especially if you have an online business, right? But also, like, I work with some manufacturers, and how do you set up the workspace so that things move from machine to machine in the most efficient way? And do you just run one product through the whole thing at a time, or do you batch them and do everything with the first machine and then move on to the second machine and move everything through that?
So let me ask you a question. How do you advise someone that, someone in, you know, I'll take myself as an example, you know, I'm out there speaking and I'm the one connecting and I'm the one coaching, and it can be very, very scary to hit that pivot point and to think, is the business gonna keep going this successfully if they don't have as much access to me? And I say that humbly, but I say that truthfully. And I love your two columns. I think that makes perfect sense. How do you advise someone like me in that situation? And how does one know who to hire first? Do you have any kind of metric for that?
I'm going to answer one, and then you're going to have to remind me about the other.
You got it.
Okay? My brain doesn't hold on to them that well if I'm in the middle. But I'm going to take your second one first. So is there any metric for figuring out who do you hire first? There's two questions you really want to ask yourself once you've batched them into jobs. The first one is, do you want it? What's more important to you? What's a priority? To either get the things that you hate the most off your list the fastest, or do you want to hire what will be the least expensive person that will have the most, that will take the most tasks off your list? Those are not necessarily the same thing. Sometimes they are, but often they're not. And so, you know, I tell people this all the time about making decisions. The truth is, you can't make a perfect decision. You cannot make the right decision because you can't see the future. You can only make the decision that you have the wherewithal to make in that moment. And so the answer to that question is it's not just about picking what you want, but really, in order to pick what's most important to you, you have to actually ask yourself the question, what is most important to me? What do I want? What are my priorities? What is going to move me closer to my goal then leads to, well, what is my goal? And so that's why I say, you know, the work that I do is a combination of nuts and bolts business strategy and really mindset or unconscious internal operating system work. Like the stuff that's going on in your head that you can't see or can't access, because that's the stuff that will drive those kinds of decisions.
Well, and what I'm hearing you say too is, you know, psychologist in me is hearing you say, like, let's look at what you value and let's look at the lifestyle you want to create around your business. And those are very individual choices that make sense for the person individually. So I love that there's, and I understand there's not this cookie cutter of answer to that question. So I really appreciate that. My other question, Dana, was that idea of like, I was the one that brought the business to where I am. People love interacting with me. How do you pull me out of the business a little bit? And how do you manage that fear of, is the business going to be as sustainable and as great if there's not so much of the thing that made it great?
You know, it's funny because that specific question is really closely related to the top fear that business owners have going from running the whole show themselves to building a staff. And it gets interpreted in lots of different ways depending on what your business is. You know, for you, you're coaching, and so time access to you is the fear, like that your customers or your clients won't get enough of you. But in other kinds of businesses, it can simply be, how is my business going to survive if my eyes aren't on every single little detail all the time? Which is the same kind of thing, access, only in a different way, right? The fear comes from a loss of control. So what happens is people think that they're going to lose control, but it's not so much about losing control, it's about changing the paradigm of control. It's from going from micro to macro, right? So that's one thing. The specific thing about access and your customers and your clients, it really depends on how you handle it, Aaron, with your people, mm-hmm. people who come, right? Because you don't want them to feel any less valued, and you need some time, right? You can't serve everybody if you're serving everybody one-on-one because there's only one Aaron. So it's a question of communication, and then a question of creating, you know, understanding that what people what they really want is access to you. And if that is the top of the number one value or thing that they're looking for, creating some programs where they can get pieces of you that spiral up so that they, every time they do the next level of a program with you, they get more access to you. And only the, right? And if they want specific one-on-one consistent time with you, then unfortunately, your time is money, and they're going to have to pay more to make that happen.
Sure.
I will be really.
I love that answer. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. You know, when I look at my business, I made a decision quite a few years ago that I was never going to have so many clients that I couldn't do work with everybody on a one-to-one basis because the work that I do is so personal. But I also got really clear about what was enough for me. Like, I don't.
Yes. Right. That is such a great question. I think that is not talked about enough. Because if you don't know what's enough and you don't know your limits or maybe even put a different way, like what your boundaries are for, again, the lifestyle you want to have for your business, then you will never be truly free. You will never truly be in control of your business. You will never truly be in control of the life that you're designing, I believe. And you'll never have a sense of success.
Right, exactly. And everybody has a different thing, you know, and I look at me and, you know, I'm going to say this and people poo-poo it, but it's the fact. I'm 58 years old. If I had been having this conversation in my 30s, and I was doing other things in my 30s, but if I had been having this conversation in my 30s or even in my early 40s, maybe enough would be bigger. Maybe the what I wanted would be magnified, and then I would go for, you know, having a seven-figure business. But I'm at 58, I'm like, you know, my time is more valuable. I don't really want to spend it managing a huge, big team. I have a team. They're all subcontractors. That all works for me. And I only have to make, you know, I don't have to make $1 million every year. That doesn't light me on fire. I can do it.
Well, and people will say all the time, you know, get me to six figures, Dr. Aaron. And I'm like, well, is that what you want? Or do you want more than that? Or do you want less than that? And let's first look at what you really want versus what the culture is saying is the measure of arriving. You know, the measure of arriving is you're successful in your own life, I believe. You know, Maya Angelou says, I think she said, success is liking what you do, who you are doing it, and the people you do it with. Some version of that. So thank you so much, Dana, for that message of what I'm really hearing us say is give yourself permission to define your own level of success.
Yeah, and never compare yourself to others because what their definition of success is most likely different than yours. I will say this. I have a little caveat to this whole thing. The truth is that if you're building a business and you haven't hit $10,000 a month, $10,000 a month is not the end all. When you get to $10,000 a month, you realize that actually that's not as much money as you thought.
Amen. Let's just say it.
Because your business at that level has expenses that you never expected. But after you hit that piece, then you're like, then asking yourself, okay, from here, what is really enough? Am I pushing myself to do 1 million? am I happy at 250? Like, what works for me? First piece, I think, is really, is actually a marker that makes sense.
It really, really consistently, I see that with people. So there must be something there. And of course there is something there because you're talking about it, but boy, it's so true. I got to ask you, you say your mission, I love this. I got to ask you, Dana, your mission is to create more compassion and love in the world, especially in the business world. I want to hear all about this.
Okay. So a friend of mine who is also a client once said about me, and I'm going to paraphrase, it's rare that you find somebody as good at business who also isn't a word that starts with D. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family in an entrepreneurial time in the city of New York. And, you know, there's a lot of business being done. And to be perfectly honest, there's a lot of people who aren't so nice to each other. There's a lot of nice on the surface and not so much integrity in the background. And I believe that really the path forward in business is one of collaboration, not one of competition. In order to really collaborate with people, you have to bring love into the conversation. I think that business and love, like relationships, are the same thing. There's so much that we do in business that correlates exactly to having a relationship with somebody, from dating them, you know, that first date, and moving on through relationships till long-term marriage or monogamy or whatever, right? And you can correlate each piece of business to the same trajectory in a relationship.
Okay, I have to tell you a story. You're going to love this. So in graduate school, let me back up. I have a husband named Garth, and he's my everything. And I always tell my kids every day, find your Garth. And I'll tell people, and it's kind of a joke in my friend circle, find your Garth, or I found my Garth, and my graduate advisor said, I want you to fall in love with your research like Aaron's in love with Garth. So find your Garth. And I always say in business, like, find your Garth. So I totally agree with that. I love that. And as cliche and cheesy as it may sound, I use what I call love marketing. I'm like, people will ask me, what's your primary lead generator? And I say, it's coffee. And what I mean by that is I just love people and go to coffee, or I connect with people and get to know them. And it's innately in my bones because I'm Erin, I'm a psychologist, but wow, if this needs to be talked about in our landscape, in our culture, you know, as women particularly, we are so well equipped to do this. It is our nature to connect. And so we truly are better together.
It really is the way, I find the way women business owners relate to each other more like this. And, going back to growing up in the 70s and the 80s and then the 90s, right, as women became more visible in careers and business, workplace, for a long time, there was this feeling that we had to emulate the way the boys did it. We had to be like the men. And yet, we're not. We don't run our relationships like men do. That's why we're attracted to each other. And so I think there's a different way of connection and of understanding and conversation that women bring to work, that women bring to business, where we're much more successful when we collaborate and come from real deep connection than we are when we come from competition.
Okay, I got to ask you a question that I know my viewers are thinking. I got to ask you this question, and I'm springing it on you, but I know that you'll have your own thoughts about it. So kind of given what we're talking about, what are your thoughts about a woman having work-life balance? Because you and I teach high performance, and high performance means you're succeeding while at the same time having happiness, joy, freedom, relationships, rest. That's what high performance is. It's not being, like you say, a worker bee. And so I'll tee that question up again. What are your thoughts about a woman having work-life balance?
I think balance is a fallacy.
Yes, me too. That's my answer. Just kidding.
I think instead of thinking about balance, which conjures this image of, you know, like the scales of justice, or the scales where everything is always perfectly in balance, I think it's a more of an image of a pendulum. And, you know, there are times when you just have to focus on business. And there are times when really your family or your personal life really needs your attention. And so those are like on the opposite ends of the pendulum. Right, and those times, but the issue comes for us when we imagine that both those things are pulling us at the exact same moment, which is most of the time not the case.
Oh, wow, I like that. I like how you put that.
Right. So mostly we're in the swing of the pendulum. I'm sorry if you can hear her.
Oh, it's okay. You know, I think, you know, back my husband had the foresight to, when I started the business, to gather the family, the kids, and say, mommy's growing an incredible business and life's going to look a little different. And it's not going to be forever, but all the things we want, she's going to be creating that. So this is how it's going to change what you do, how you spend time, how you clean up around the house, etc. And they have never, ever resented me for growing this business. In fact, they're so on board. And so bring your families on board with you. Figure out what success looks like for your unique situation. I love that pendulum idea, Dana. And you know, balance, you know, go ahead.
I was gonna say, one thing that I do really stress with my clients is that it's super, super important to set aside one day in a week that you take off from work. And you know, many of my clients are blown away by that they have to do this, that this is a requirement.
I know, I'm like holding myself, like, hold the fort, what is she saying? What did she just say?
It is for the good of everything. Your business, you actually, your brain can't create or think new, be creative in any way if all it is focused on the day-to-day things that have to get done all the time, right? So if you're working every day, your brain doesn't have a chance to like relax and reset and all of those other ideas that might happen in the back of your head. It can't do any of that. You have to take a day off every week.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to do that and let you know how happy and joyous I become. I mean, even more so. I'm already happy and joyous.
No email. No email.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to do it. I want to challenge all of our listeners to do that and let us know what day you're choosing and we will support you. Dana, our time is already coming to an end. How can people get to know more about your work?
There's two of the easiest ways. One is to just go to my website at danacorey.com, and you can really learn a lot about who I am. And if you want more, you know, send me a message through the contact page. And here's the other way. The place I hang out the most is Facebook, and not my business page, my personal profile. And
Of course you do, because that's where I hang out too, and we're twins. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay.
So just send me a friend request at facebook.com, Dana Corey.
And it's C-O-R-E-Y, Corey. Dana,
Corey. Dana, thank you so much for joining and sharing all of this amazing knowledge. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
It has been so fun and such important messages shared today. I know you all are going to benefit so much from this episode. Thank you for joining the Amped podcast. And remember, it's time. It's your time to step into your greatness. Bye-bye.
Now that you've been given the permission and tools to amplify your life, it's time to amplify your purpose, passion, and profits. For more tools on how to make money doing what you love, visit www.thepsychologyofmission.com. And for more episodes, visit the Tenacious Living Network at trlstation.com. It's time, your time, to step into your greatness and get amped.